You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, September 8th, 2025. Parker Olson is producing down in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. Selena Heller from Up North News is here as well. Brittany Merlot is not here, has the day off. But you can follow the weather across your local Civic Media station, where you'll hear that it's still a little chilly out there for one more morning, but we start heading back toward normal temperatures. Increasingly so throughout the course of the week, maybe a chance of some showers later tonight and into tomorrow, but then dry for a big chunk of the rest of the week. But like I said, this morning, still a mite chilly out there, 32 degrees right now in Hayward and Superior and Solon Springs. Yep, a lot of 30s. It's 34 degrees in at Fort McCoy right now, 34 in Black River Falls. Meanwhile, it's 50 degrees over by Hudson, as well as down by Milwaukee. So an interesting range ahead. But again, apart from some chances of precip later tonight and tomorrow, looks like we've got a very nice week ahead for those of us who still haven't done, the fall house prep yet. You know, the things that you got to move before you have to move leaves. We're not at that point. But it was clear in driving down to La Crosse and then back up through the Mississippi and St. Croix Valley there yesterday on Sunday, barring any one of those terrible storms, you know, with the high wind and everything, we are going to have an amazing fall peak color season this year. You can just feel it already, can't you?
Yeah. I've seen a lot already. Yeah. I've traveled through Minnesota a lot too. And we've noticed a lot.
Yeah. Well, and you were camping up in the Chautauqua area last weekend, you said. And you're starting to see the little signs, you know, it's always those first few leaves that are a little eager saying,
yes. Yeah. You see patches right now, just kind of odd patches. Just some trees.
I'm not ready, guys.
I know it's you're not. Soon. No. On top of that, I mean, you probably have a dump truck full of mulch or something to spread, knowing you, and you can't do any of it with you rehabbing your knee. So I can see where you're not jazzed up for the season yet.
So. I just want to sit on the patio and enjoy the warm weather. So I'm glad to know that the week ahead looks favorable.
We
did our first fall, big fall activity that we have to do fall every year, Ferguson's Orchard. We did an orchard trip and it was packed. But then we saw the gray sky and everybody just took off running and then it just poured. So we got in the car, but it was freezing and not a nice fall, enjoyable. When the sun came out for a few minutes, it was nice, but it was cold otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy and 39 degrees. That has been the low so far. Over the weekend, I was cleaning up around the home. My sisters helped me. It was a great weekend sports-wise with the Brewers, the Packers, and the Badgers all winning. Yesterday, Jim Nance says the Packers would win a Super Bowl sometime in the next 3 years.
Yes.
Yeah. I was a real big fan of that one.
Ah, he says that he sees turkey vultures around all the time, loves to see the eagles when they come through the area migrating. He says, I love my cookie dough ice cream. And I was eating that during the Packer game.
During the Packer game.
Yep. Over the weekend, he was washing his winter coats. That's another one of those fall things that you got to do. Mm-hmm. And then he says, Kristen, did you see the NFL Today crew at Lambeau Field yesterday? The more important question is, given the way that things normally fall for Dr. Lyerly, why wasn't she on the NFL Today?
I definitely did bump into some celebrities yesterday, but not the NFL Today crew.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Who did you? It was great. We got there super early. So we were tailgating very early on, and we had a very close set. We were in handicapped parking because of my knee. So lots of people streamed by us, and it was just neat to see all of the faces.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on top of all the other, you know, lovely conditions for football and fall colors and everything else, we were leaving Hudson last night just after sundown. And it was one of those times where it works out just perfectly. We're driving due east on I-94, come up the hill, you know, from Hudson, and there is a full moon rising.
Oh, beautiful.
Right over the horizon. Huge, huge, you know, and orange is coming up. And I mean, it looks like it's on a collision course with Earth or something. It just looks so close and big and beautiful. Just a nice drive.
Yes, you know. It was bright. We saw too.
Yeah. Although now that was the good side of having a big, bright, beautiful moon. Hours earlier, when I was staying, we were staying with friends in La Crosse, and they're remodeling their home right now. And so that includes replacing some windows. And so there's no like blinds or shades or anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sunday would have been my one morning to sleep in. Sunday about 4:15 a.m. Something made me open up my eyes, and coming through the window, that full moon was right there, right there. It's like, it may as well have been daylight. Like, well, I'm not getting back to sleep now.
Perhaps you need a sleep mask.
Perhaps.
It can also be a beauty mask. You can put a little like cucumbers or some cooling things in there. Oh, this could be really luxurious for you, Pat.
Wow. I just simply turned my griping about the moon into a spa day thing. All
yeah. Wow. I think it's a lavender one. You can warm it up in the microwave and then.
Mm-hmm. Pat's getting bougie.
Wow. I like how they're both like, Pat, you really need to do something with your face. You know,
I bet they make them in plaid too.
That's not a prerequisite, but okay. Kristen, tell us about the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show last week, next week.
Last week was so inspiring. I had Emily Kranek and Sarah White from Northern Door Activism talking about how they went from being just regular moms who were really worried about what was happening in the world to becoming community organizers and figuring out how to pull people together to make a difference in Northern Door County and beyond. So it was a really inspirational conversation. And then next week, we're talking about, it's Sexual Health Week, right? We're talking about periods. So we're talking about the Monthlies Project. You know, menstruators, people who have periods, get their periods every month, but it's expensive to buy tampons and all of these period products, and a lot of people just plain can't afford it. Food stamps don't pay for it, and you still have to pay taxes on these products in Wisconsin. So what can we do to support people who still have periods here in Wisconsin better? There are many different things, and we're going to talk all about that.
Yeah, so we were talking in today's history lesson about this being National Sexual Health Month, and Kristen volunteering to be here for every day to have a sexual health segment.
Pat, you wouldn't believe the number of people. I'm sure Sherry has these stories too.
I bet I would.
Who come into the office and they have all of these strange misconceptions about their own bodies that they learned early on. Maybe they just, you know, they learned from other people. It's not good information, but they're making decisions based on that, and it's not healthy. It sets you off on a trajectory that's not positive. So there are many things that we can do better. Yeah. And this is the week to talk about it. So let's go.
Okay, what's either the kind of biggest misconception, the weird thing, or what's one piece of information that you would feel you wanted to relay if you got to relay one thing?
The one thing that people almost always believe is that, you know how like the uterus and the fallopian tubes come out like this, and then there are the ovaries here? People almost always think that ovaries shoot an egg into the fallopian tube, and that's how people ovulate, like boo-boo, yeah, every month. But that's not what happens. The ovary just ovulates, like the egg just comes off of the ovary, and it just lands somewhere deep inside your body. And the fallopian tubes are like ballet dancers. They just like move around, and they're really beautiful. They're fimbriated edges, and they just like find the egg and they suck them up into the fallopian tube. And that is how the whole process gets started. How about that?
Mind blown over here.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of make it sound like a beautiful dance, but also almost kind of like Alien or something, that there's this thing that's moving around inside.
It's so what's going on
there. There is a weird amount of elegance to this, yes.
But, yeah. All right. So that and much more on the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show that you can catch on Civic Media stations in Green Bay and Oshkosh. And on the app, right, Kristen, or on the website?
Everywhere you get your podcast, just Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on Apple and Spotify and you name it. We're there.
Yeah, do that. You can also, while you're online, get subscribed to the Up North News weekend newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, which features a question of the week each week. And this time around, the question I posed is, why did Donald Trump do a flip-flop on the Epstein files? He had said, you know, that the information should come out. He obviously knew Jeffrey Epstein. He says, We were friends once upon a time, but it turns out he's a bad dude and I didn't want anything more to do with him. And he was all about releasing the files until he wasn't. And now he's out there saying it's a hoax. Like all of these women are making this up. It's all wrong. So what do you think? And I put in various options. One is that, either Trump has done something bad and now realizes he's in the files and is trying to cover up for himself. The other option is that it's not about him. It's that he's trying to protect somebody else that he know might be a donor, a friend, whatever, who's in the files. He's trying to protect somebody. And the other option is that he's using it as blackmail, that he's now seen the files and that he's approached people and is essentially has some kind of level of control over them through blackmail, through his ability to see what's in those files. And then the final option, of course, is that you believe Donald Trump and that it is a complete hoax and all these women are making things up. I don't think I have seen that answer yet from anybody. And I've seen a lot of responses come in and needless to say, there are a lot of people like me who want to get to the bottom of this because it does not make sense that a president would simply flip-flop and call this thing a hoax. Kristen, women have a tough enough time being believed without the most powerful person in the country accusing them all of being part of some kind of grand conspiracy.
Just release the Epstein files. Yeah. Release the Epstein files now. You saw all those women at that bipartisan, very strange press conference with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Ro Khanna. I mean, talk about people who are on different sides of the aisle. But the one thing that we all believe in is that women who were children at the time were hurt. So this information needs to be released.
Yeah. I mean, you can't put it any more basic than that. And there is a petition. It's called a discharge petition that if enough members of both parties, sign this thing, the matter has to come up for a vote in the House of Representatives. And the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, supposedly can't do anything to stop it. And every Democrat has signed onto it. And it only needs like four or five Republicans to sign onto it.
Two, I think, isn't it?
I think two have, and they need just two more. And to this point, Derek Van Orden has not signed that petition. Tony Weed has not signed that petition. Brian Stile has not signed that petition. Tom Tiffany has not signed that petition. Glenn Grothman has not signed that petition. Scott Fitzgerald has not signed that petition. Why? Why? And I would challenge every Wisconsin newsroom that you do not interview any of those Republican members of the House of Representatives unless you're also asking, why are you helping cover up the and blocking the justice that these women, these girls deserve? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they signing it? It's that simple.
Yeah. There's no excuse.
No,
there's no excuse. And they need to be held to that standard. I mean, that's accountability.
Yes. And don't talk to us about law and order and everything else if you're not willing to provide a degree of justice for, this horrible person and all the people who played a role in covering him up. And apparently that included a very big bank. The New York Times is a big blockbuster story today about the bank that helped cover up all of Jeffrey Epstein's misdeeds. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll talk about fair maps coming up at 7:35.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
If you're just getting up and going on your Monday morning, let's get you reset on all the good, happy sports news from the weekend. You had Jordan Love throwing a pair of touchdown passes, and Micah Parsons had a sack in his Green Bay debut. as the Packers beat the Detroit Lions yesterday 27-13. For the Packers, it was 13 straight years of winning their home opener. Jordan Love went 16 of 22 for 188 yards. He had touchdown passes of 15 yards to Tucker Kraft, 17 yards to Jaden Reed. Josh Jacobs added a three-yard score in the fourth quarter, giving him a touchdown in a franchise record 9 straight games now. And so the Packers are going to turn right around here, and they are playing on Thursday night. They're kicking off the Week 2 schedule against the Washington Commanders. You can hear the pregame at 5 o'clock this Thursday on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine, and the newest Packer affiliate, WAUH, out in Wautoma. The Wisconsin Badgers were winners over Middle Tennessee, 42-10 on Saturday. But the Badgers really didn't get going until well into the third quarter, giving fans a lot of indigestion up until that point. But a win is a win, and now the Badgers will turn around and head to Alabama for next Saturday's game. Pre-game begins at 9 a.m. Saturday on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. And then finally, the Brewers, they continue to go on a tear. They swept the Pirates, winning yesterday 10-2. Andrew Vaughn had 4 hits. Jacob Mizorowski cruised through 7 innings. He allowed only 1 run and 3 hits, 8 strikeouts while going more than 6 innings for the first time in his career. Now the Brewers are off to Texas to play the Rangers in Arlington. Jose Quintana, with his 11-5 record, will be on the mound. Game 1 is this evening. The pregame begins at 6:30. Bless you. Who was that?
Not me.
That would be Whiskers.
That'd be Emery.
Okay.
Anyway. Can we just, while we're talking about sports, give a shout out to the Minnesota Gophers, who, despite the fact that their game was ended 6 minutes before the end of the game because of weather, beat their opponent 66-0 and actually ran out of their fireworks that they
it made me laugh to see the scoreboard, a photo of the scoreboard making the rounds on social media, with it saying 66-0 or whatever, saying, "We ran out of fireworks. Oh, sorry."
It's so nice to be on the other end of it, because when I was in college in Minnesota, we were the ones who were losing 66-0.
Yeah.
So, yes.
It's better to run out of fireworks. And I guess there's, I don't know if it's Goldie Gopher or somebody is kind of has that thing where they do the amount of push-ups that are on the scoreboard. Uh-huh. And when you're up 66-0,
That's a lot of push-ups.
I guess at the end, by the 66th round, they're basically just moving their arms. They weren't really, you know, because your arms would fall off otherwise.
Parker. The Oregon Duck did a ridiculous amount of push-ups on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oregon, okay, but too? Let's be real. They have a big head on. It's not like you're doing a real push-up. You're just doing a little, like.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Even okay. Bucky's put, like, look at how long Bucky's nose is. That push-up is like a 2-inch push-up.
Look at the former Goldie Gopher over here is making excuses again. All right. Anyway, congratulations on the win for Kristen's alma mater. Selena, let's get back to your trip up to Chautauqua and talking to Alan Kirchner about winning World Dairy Expo honors for his ice cream. The big one was for chocolate peanut butter, right? That was the big winner?
That was the grand champion. Yep. Mm-hmm. So one for chocolate peanut butter. And, but you know, the coveted award is vanilla, because there are so many, you know, vanillas being entered, you know, that's kind of the base. Well, so there's this category that it's all sherbet, frozen yogurt, gelato, and ice cream. All vanillas go into this category. And as we mentioned before, there's no artificial dye, gluten-free, carrageenan-free, and they have homemade waffle cones. So lots of good things for this ice cream. But this is what Alan Kirchner describes as how he makes his vanilla that got a first place award at the World Dairy Expo.
I did a blend of Madagascar and Indonesian, kind of more of a complex balancing out the sweetness of a Madagascar with more of a upfront, woody, smoky type of Indonesian vanilla.
I imagine that's a big category to try to win.
Yeah, it's most likely the most difficult one. It's because more ice cream producers will participate in that one more than others.
That is very cool. Now, is the ice cream shop like on the main drag there in Shatek, or do you have to go
right
looking
on the main
for
drag?
It?
It's and attached to a bakery too. So I mean, you can't go wrong if you go in there
with a homemade waffle cone. You know,
yeah.
Nothing out of a box here. This is very cool.
So all the right. real question is, can you have ice cream for breakfast? Because that's all I want right now.
Yeah. I will say that since, I mean, I always get an ice cream cake for my birthday. And so I can, back in July, yes. You can in fact have ice cream cake for breakfast for a week.
Of course straight. You can.
Isn't it have a better breakfast month, Pat?
It is build a better breakfast month.
Oh my
Kristen,
gosh.
Kristen, you're on to something here.
Wait, we also have to.
Oh yes. Mention while we're in Shatek as well, Selena.
Shatek. Yeah. So there's a lady in Shatek that makes these Packer outfits for dolls.
Selena is holding a doll with a beautiful Packers dress on it.
This is Karina Emery, just dressed her for the day. And 4th of July at Freedom Fest, this lady has her craft booth out and she's got these cool dresses that she makes. So
that is wonderful.
Very good. Shatek.
Okay. Yeah. Which maybe we'll go this weekend if we can get Kristen out here. You know, we got time.
Ice
You're not
cream,
doing anything else this weekend.
Dresses.
Yeah. All right. You guys all think about it. Thanks for making Monday so wonderful. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller. You guys have a great start to the week.
Happy you Monday, too. My friends.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about Fair Maps with a guest from the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, making the rounds around the state with public forums to say we don't have to normalize gerrymandering any longer. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You can stay up to date on our unabashedly Wisconsin news through our newsletters. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner, and sign up for newsletters that come out on weekdays and on weekends, like our Sunday morning one that focuses on Wisconsin politics. Goodness knows we have talked a lot about gerrymandering, gerrymandered maps, the corrupt cartography that's going on in Texas and potentially Missouri right now, and the ways that you address that in the short term. But more importantly, how do we fix this in the long term? Because everything that's happening right now is only for this decade. And then there's another census in 2030. And then we can do this all over again unless we make some permanent changes. And that's what the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition is all about. And I recall telling you about their first two, maybe three stops on a statewide tour. And I'm looking at their Facebook page right now, and there are plenty more hearings to talk about. And so Yuseli Flores from the Fair Maps Coalition joins us now to talk about how you can go to one of these and learn more and what are the larger issues at play. And so let's go over that now with Yuseli Flores. How are you this morning? Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on. Yeah, we actually have seven more events up until October, and we're hoping to increase. So if any listeners here today want to have one in their communities, we'll drive to you. We are driving to Egg Harbor, Door County. I've never been to Door County. We then are going to Menominee in River Falls, which is 45 minutes away from St. Paul, Minnesota. So we're literally across the state for the next 2 months.
Yes. And I'm looking at the, like I said, the Facebook page for that. And it's easy enough to head over to Facebook and look for WI Fair Maps Coalition. And you'll see that these hearings are September 10th, Egg Harbor, September 11th for the Menominee River Falls area, September 25th in Madison, September 26th in Milwaukee, La Crosse on October 14th, Winnebago County on October 15th, and a rally at the Capitol on October 16th. And all of this is designed to do exactly what you say when you talk about making a permanent fix to all of this. What would be the best fix?
Yeah, so we would, we're pushing for an independent redistricting commission. We just finished drafting a proposal and we'll be looking for some legislative champions to help us push that through. But it's basically a citizen-led commission. It's distinct from the legislature, which is not controlled by representatives of any political party. Like you mentioned, we're going to have to deal with this again in 2030. So we want to create this for the purpose of drawing legislative and congressional district lines away from the hands of politicians. We at the coalition recognize that gerrymandering is wrong no matter what party does it. And what you mentioned, Texas, what's happening there is not an isolated issue. It's part of a broader national strategy to consolidate control. And so we're trying to give that power back to the voters.
And in doing so, it is essentially an indictment of the current system writ large, which over the years, over generations, has been abused at times by people from both parties. It is, it is my position as a former Democratic lawmaker that there is definitely a side that is abusing it more. But what a lot of reformers are saying is this isn't about, you know, who's doing more, who's doing less. It's about finding a permanent fix. And these are my words, not yours. It is clear that over the generations, there's no longer a public trust of politicians to police themselves and do redistricting responsibly. And so independent commissions are probably the best reform for the nation going forward. Is that kind of what's undergirding all of this push for permanent legislation?
Oh, yeah, of course. And they work. And truly in the entire country, we only have four states that accurately reflect a nonpartisan independent redistricting commission process. A lot of folks ask us, why aren't you pushing the Iowa model? Well, the Iowa model is 40 years old, 45 years old, and it still relies on some sort of legislative power to then pick and choose the map that they think fits best. And Wisconsin's not Iowa. Our demographics are different. We're not as white. We have way more communities of interest, people that reflect beautiful values. And we want to make sure those people are actually represented accurately in Wisconsin as well.
There has been in the past as well, along with these in-person hearings, some virtual hearings, some ways for people just to learn more at home. If people can't get to one of these events or the others that are upcoming, are there resources through the website or social media where people can learn more about independent redistricting commissions?
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that up. We do have a virtual hearing tomorrow at 6 p.m. and it'll be live streamed on our Facebook with Common Cause. They're one of our coalition partners, but we try to be as transparent as possible because we value transparency. So on our website, fairmapswi.com, you can read the draft proposal that we created. It's 16 pages long. There's an executive summary, which is still 4 pages long. You can read the FAQs. So a lot of folks, like I said, ask us why not the Iowa model. We also have the presentation there available for folks that just want to swipe through it. We try to make, and if you can't attend and want to submit comment, fairmapswi.com, that's your place to go if you want to submit comment. And I promise you, we meet for 3 hours almost every Monday to go through every single comment that was made so we can accurately shift and change the draft proposal with what Wisconsinites want. So during our public hearings, we include 4 different opportunities for folks to submit questions throughout so we can log those and then draft and change the proposal as we see fit based on public input.
And again, that website is fairmapswi.com. We are talking to Yuseli Flores, the organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. If we can go way back and talk about what exactly constitutes a fair map, because I'm sure there are folks that feel either this is very ethereal or maybe they're so cynical that sometimes we need a refresher of what is it that constitutes a fair map? What is it that assures people that rather than gerrymandering, this is something that voters can have faith in? What would constitute that for the Fair Maps Coalition?
Yeah, so some of the criteria will obviously have to follow U.S. constitutional and legal requirements, including equal population, the 14th Amendment, the Voting Rights Act, But it also has to meet Wisconsin constitutional requirements, which are contiguity, which means that the districts just have to stick to one another. So we don't have to draw salamanders and in these weird shapes. Compactness. The consideration of communities of interest, which includes communities that are higher, you know, they speak a certain language or they culturally, they're very connected, maintaining local political subdivisions and geographic boundaries, nesting of at least three assembly districts within one Senate district. And then partisan fairness is defined as not giving preference to any political party, incumbent or candidate. And we plan on using election data for purposes of ensuring that any redistricting maps meet the established criteria, and fairness metrics will obviously have to be used to evaluate all of the redistricting maps that are being considered. So we're just following the law. That's all we're doing.
Following, you know, standards of fairness, which is, it really is about the power should be in the hands of the voter to choose their representatives, and not in the power should not be in the hands of the representatives to choose their voters, to monkey around with the lines, to take care of themselves in the short run. This is really about long-term reform, which I wonder, Yuseli, if that has been helped or harmed by recent events in Texas, with then California Democrats wanting to respond, and now Missouri Republicans are talking about responding, which is leading Maryland Democrats to talk about responding, and all of these responding mechanisms essentially are, again, politicians being involved instead of independent commissions. Do you feel like that's either hurting what you're all trying to do because people are saying, well, I guess we have to engage in this, you know, back and forth to assure a level of fairness? Or is it helping the cause by saying, well, whatever it is that's happening this year, we need a permanent solution?
Honestly, I think more people now know what gerrymandering means than even 2 years ago. For us, all press is some sort of good press, because more people are now understanding the definition. More people are recognizing that gerrymandering is wrong. They're also recognizing it for what it is. It's a form of voter suppression. And we recognize that what is happening across the country is defining our democracy for corruption and for what we don't stand for. And so I think more people are recognizing that their values are being compromised and are calling it out. And like I made this sort of comment before about, if you're going to fight fire with fire, there's not enough Neosporin in this entire country that's going to cover up all those burns. And so we really need to be careful with what we do in either, you know, whatever political party you're a part of. But voter suppression is voter suppression. I'm a native Spanish speaker, and when I translate gerrymandering to communities that I'm presenting for in Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. There's not and that's exactly what gerrymandering is, but in Spanish, people are, the wow effect is like, oh my God, you're telling me that even in the US, the country that I came to for, you know, the American dream, also manipulates election results. And I was like, yes, they do. And they have a fancy word for it called gerrymandering. Like they've covered it up with such a whimsical sounding, almost unimaginable word. And so when we translate it, it's like, if you're okay with undermining democracy in Wisconsin, in the country and Wisconsin, and you're okay with manipulating election results, regardless of whatever political party you're a part of, then you do not stand for democratic values. You do not stand. So it's my constant argument with folks. It's not an argument. It's more like, okay, so you're okay with manipulating election results. Great. Mm-hmm. So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter. Great. Do you see how terrible that sounds? And so I love that I know Spanish, because I'm able to kind of like get it from a different angle, which is the same thing. It's still gerrymandering. So, you know, we still at the coalition remain committed to our goal of establishing a fair and independent redistricting process, because we want to protect voting rights. We want to foster accountability. And we really want to empower people to shape the decisions that impact their lives and their families. You know, whatever situation is happening in any other state is just a stark reminder that without any independent redistricting, no state is immune from any sort of abuse.
Right. And by the way, it for folks that are saying you can't redraw 99 assembly districts and 33 Senate districts, you can't redraw 132 districts to be 50% Democratic, 50% Republican. That's not what this is. That's not the definition of splitting it down the middle of that way. It's about fairness in representation for a given area and not manipulating it in a way that essentially turns it 100% chance of a party winning because of the way that you're drawing the lines. Again, to learn more about this, you want to head over to on Facebook, either the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition Facebook page, which is WI Fair Maps Coalition on Facebook, or if you want to go through the website, you go to fairmapswi.com. Learn more about these hearings that are coming up. And one more time for those, they include Egg Harbor, Door County coming up on September 10th, Menominee River Falls on September 11th, Madison on the 25th, Milwaukee the 26th, and then La Crosse on October 14th, Winnebago County October 15th, and then a rally at the state capitol on October 16th. And again, head over to their sites to learn more. Yuseli Flores, Organizing Director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. Thank you so much for all of the background on this. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you. Right.
You bet. Have a wonderful day. Still ahead in our 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to State Senator Jeff Smith about how some programs for homeless veterans are about to close down unless Republicans come back and undo the $0 that they put in the new state budget. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. 7:52 the time. It's 45 degrees here on Lake Wasota, 45 in Eau Claire, 46 in La Crosse and Amory, 45 degrees right now in Oshkosh. We welcome in Jimmy Cuska as we do on Monday mornings to kind of look back at the weekend in sports. And it is, of course, that time of year where every weekend recap is going to be a busy recap in sports. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's football season. It's the first weekend where we have the full go of high school sports, Badgers football, and Packers football. So that is where we are at in our calendar year.
September, and we don't October, the Brewers either.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Brewers are there, right? I know the Brewers are very important. I'm just saying, though, in terms of football, that's where we're at in the calendar, where every single weekend, yes. You've got football just constantly going.
Oh yeah, and I'm saying if the Brewers were like 30 games under 500, we wouldn't even be mentioning the score, much less anything else. And yet you've got that. And so while I'm on there, we're just going to get this one taken care of first. Andrew Vaughn having four hits, the Brewers beating up on the Pirates 10-2 to sweep the series. But Jacob Mizorowski pitching through seven innings for the first time. So apparently, Jimmy, the formula for the Brewers is that I trash talk one of the players with you 1 week, and then the next week we're talking about how that player had an amazing turnaround.
Well, I mean, we've got a couple of minutes. You can just mention all 26 names on the roster right now if you really
that
want
Jose
to.
Quintana is pitching tonight. Gosh, I wish he could do better than his 11 wins, which is one of the best in the majors. Come on, Jose, step it up a notch. 6:30, the pregame begins tonight in Arlington, Texas, to take on the Rangers, start of a three-game series there. And then you've got the Badgers, of course, who did beat up on Middle Tennessee 42-10. But they really didn't get going until well into the third quarter. And Jimmy, I was saying earlier on social media, for the first 2.5 quarters of that game, you felt a fan base that felt like they were about to lose that game and were ready to burn everything to the ground. And then you got to the third quarter and it's like, oh, okay, we're fine. We won.
Yeah, I think people are just frustrated because the Badgers had all this hype and expectation with recruiting and going with a different head coach and kind of changing the culture of the football program by going outside the house. They had Paul Christ and then Jim Leonard, and then all of a sudden they're going outside to go bring in Luke Fickell to try to bring Wisconsin up to the forefront in terms of national viability. And I think there's just a big sense of frustration among fans that things weren't going according to what had been, I guess, for lack of a better term, promised to them by the administration to get it to where they need to be. So anytime the Badgers are going to struggle, and make no mistake, this year with the schedule they got, if you look at October, it's going to be tough. This stuff is all going to come back around if the Badgers don't shock the world a bit here later in the season.
What you're saying is you better enjoy the wins that the Badgers are getting right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Enjoy it while you can. I mean, not to say they won't go out and win, you know, 7, 8, 9 games, but they have a really difficult schedule this year.
Yeah. As Tony puts on YouTube, the Badger score was not indicative of their performance. And I don't even know the October schedule. So I was just calling it up here. Oh, let's see. We got Michigan, Iowa.
Don't
Ohio
do this to yourself.
State,
don't look at
Oregon.
It,
oh, yeah, it's going to be tough. So, and then you got Alabama this Saturday. Pregame begins at 9 a.m. on several Civic Media stations. And so head over to the website to learn more. All right, so now we can come back to the Packers, who have a short week, by the way, taking on the Washington Commanders this coming Thursday. That game will be on Prime. But to get back to yesterday's game against Detroit, what'd you think?
As a special teams coach, I have to appreciate this, that the kicker was perfect, 2 for 2 on field goals, 3 for 3 on extra points. And Daniel Whelan at punter, 54.7 yard average. Bring it on. That's awesome. But I think what everybody was way more excited about was Micah Parsons, who, and I saw this comment somewhere, it was like watching a nature special and watching like the cheetah chase down the antelope. When he's chasing the quarterback for the Lions, and he gets that sack and celebrates. People lost their minds because this is a huge acquisition, and you just saw it on that play, what he brings to the Packers. Someone who's been on the team for, less than 2 weeks, and all of a sudden he's making plays like that. I think that's what got people the most excited, is seeing that. And the offense really not really struggling at all. Just, you know, they didn't get a ton of yards, but, you know, they were effective, a couple of touchdowns and interceptions. It was all good things. I think it was a pleasant, comfortable game for Packers fans in the opener against a pretty good Detroit Lions team from last year that won the conference. So this is one of the division, I should say. And that's a good feeling if you're a Packers fan going in week one, taking down a division rival. You've now matched your win total in the division from last year in week one.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you've got the Bears and the Vikings playing tonight in the Monday Night Football game. So a lot of folks are going to be watching that to see what do we have for division rivals this year? What's the caliber of those two teams? So,
yeah, and good luck topping last night's Sunday night game between Buffalo and Baltimore. Good luck, because that game was insane.
Yeah, it was a big Buffalo comeback. How far down were they in the fourth here?
Yeah, it was 38-25 at one point, and then
here it is. Josh Allen rallies the Bills for 16 points in the last 4 minutes to stun the Ravens 41-40. Yeah, that was way past my bedtime. So that sounds like it would have been very exciting.
Oh yeah, to talk about, you know, just the NFL in week one, I think the Sunday slate, and that's the one they can hit on as schedule makers, right? Because they gotta get all the right matchups in there. There are a few duds in there, but I mean, by and large, it was a pretty good opening weekend. I mean, there were a lot of good stories and an amazing game to cap everything off. So I think for NFL fans, you're happy. Things are back. It's football, and we had a good Sunday. So
yeah, Tony calls it an absolutely epic comeback by the Bills there. And then, again, the Packers Commanders pregame will begin at 5 o'clock on Thursday on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, Wautoma. And then of course, you got more high school football to cover this week. No rest for the weary, buddy. So
yeah, it's week four, which means that after this week, we are just under the halfway point of the regular season in high school football.
All right, Jimmy Cuska watching all that for us. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great start to the week.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. Coming up after the 8 o'clock news, we will be talking to State Senator Jeff Smith, who is working to get rid of a goose egg that was in the state budget, what Republicans left as programs for homeless veterans. That's ahead. I'm Pat Kreitlow. These mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, are heard right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.